Let's. I think we've got David Long Jr. with us now. Titans linebacker is indeed on the line with us. David, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing fantastic. Nice win on Sunday over the Colts.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
You guys have had a nice bounce back, and that is the hard thing I think for fans, because it's just natural, right? After one game, you see a performance like that, and everybody freaks out, and you know you're playing 17 games. And
right.
Then you get the bounce back like you've done the next two games. But
right.
Yeah, but it is hard, right? I mean, it's the ebbs and flows of the NFL. Now that you've been through it and you understand it, you can't get too – you always hear that, and, you know, people in the past maybe have rolled their eyes, but now you realize it is true. Like, you can't get too high, you can't get too low.
Of course, I agree. And that's exactly what we didn't do, you know, after the first game, is getting too low. We know what we were capable of, and – you know, we just had to, you know, put it in the past and, you know, think about going 1-0 the next week. And I think we took that approach a good way, you know, these past 2 weeks. And I think we will continue, you know, to keep growing into a, you know, a better and more developed team.
Yeah, and so with that being said, also, you can't fall into the trap, and I know you probably hear this from the coaches, you know, you can't fall in the trap of, you know, in college, while you may get that from the coaches – but you know, like in college, like if you're playing, you know, you're at West Virginia and you're playing, mm-hmm. you know, Samford or whatever, no disrespect
right.
to them, but you're like, you know, it's a homecoming game. It's like, we're going to win this game. Like, you
right.
can't do that in the NFL, right? Because,
oh, not at all.
Yeah, you'll lose.
Definitely lose because, you know, every team has players. You know, that's why they're here. So no matter what record it is, you better come to play.
Why has it looked so good for you thus far through three games? You look very comfortable. You've had a really nice start to the season. What's working well for you, David?
I feel like, you know, it just mainly a mindset. You know, I feel like it's my third year going into the league. You know, I have pretty, you know, high expectations of myself. So I'm just, you know, seeing stuff slower. And, you know, I'm just really, you know, hungry out there. I think that's the majority of what it is, you know, hungry, you know, to be a better, you know, player, you know, just, you know, to show, you know, what I'm capable of. So, yeah, more comfortable, you know, more, you know, hungry, you know, everything. You know, the opportunity is there. So, you know, I'm just taking advantage of it.
You know, guys like Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry, and those guys, you guys in that linebacker room, you're kind of all in the same time frame, right, in the league. But when you add a guy like Bud Dupree, who's been around – a little bit longer, been there, done
right.
it. And I get it. He's been dealing with the injury bug, and he hasn't been out there a ton. But you didn't have to be out there for you to pick his brain. Have you leaned on him at all to learn some stuff from his experience in the league?
As far as, like, you know, we play two different positions, but, you know, as
right.
far as, like, you know, how stuff goes in the league,
sure.
you know, what mindset approach, you know, yeah, me and Bud have rapped about that, you know, but also Bud is, like, you know, a good teammate, you know, on the sidelines, on the, just making sure, you know, everybody's keeping their heads, making sure a person is feeling good about themselves when making a play, you know, anything, you know, especially when, you know, you have to, you know, I know he's working through stuff with, you know, injuries or whatever, but, you know, especially when you're not out there, you know, it's still hard for some people, you know, to still be happy, you know, and give congrats, you know, but he does that, you know, with no difficulty at all, you know, mm-hmm. clapping for his teammates. I think that's the biggest thing I take away from him.
Interesting. Now, you guys had your struggles getting to the quarterback. It's up maybe a tick, but getting off the field on third down was a real bugaboo for you guys
yeah.
last season, and obviously it was well discussed, and I'm sure you guys have discussed a lot. That's gotten a lot better. Why has it gotten a lot better, in your opinion, getting off the field?
I wouldn't say it would be one thing. I think we have a more or a better understanding, you know, of what we need to do. You know, we have the pieces, you know, for it to work. And it's more about, you know, us just having that, you know, the same mindset, you know, being excited, you know, going out there on third down, you know, just having the confidence, you know, that we about to get off the field. You know, just keep reminding, you know, our teammates, you know, three and out. As soon as we get out there, three and out, let's get off the field. You feel me? Let's not be out here all day. Stuff like that, you know, keep reminding everybody, you know, is on the same page. It's hard to beat a team like that, you know. It's hard to get past a team like that once everybody, you know, is on the same page.
Talking to David Long, and as you say that, David, we're reminded about just how big the mental part of the game is.
Yeah.
And there was so much discussion last year. Where is it going wrong? Communication, the pass rush, all of the things that go into it. But I really hear a lot of just the belief that you guys have in one another right now. There's that swagger you start to get when you have success, that confidence. That's such a huge part of it.
That is. And I feel like that's what we're coming into now, you know. You know, it's still early. You know, we still don't have everybody back, you feel me? So it's still, like, you know, stuff we have to work towards. But right now I see it, like, you know, in all of us, you know. And, as far, you know, for the front seven, you know, the DBs making plays and, you know, people going down, Breon, Dane coming in, you know, making plays. I feel like we all have that, you know, that swagger or that confidence about ourselves, you know, and believe in one another that, you know, that the job will get done no matter who's out there.
You always hear this about development, right? The good teams develop players, and you get a lot of credit in that area. It seems like you continue to add dimensions to your game each year. What kind of mindset did that take? Where did you start tuning in and saying, you know what, this is where I've got to get better? And because you've been effective in that area.
Right. I just think, you know, being real with myself, you know, not thinking I'm too high or, you know, not thinking I'm, you know, I don't need anything to work on, you know, going in there and watching film, you know, taking the coaching and, you know, learning from other players, you know, I think that takes in all accounts to how to be a better, you know, person and ball player. So I think I just, you know, paid attention, you know, to what I was working on. You know, off-season, preseason, training camp, you know, and just making sure that I'm not, you know, making the same mistake twice. So, you know, that's mainly been my focus, you know. I know what I'm good at and I know what I need to, you know, work on. So I feel like that would translate it to the field, you know, as much as I'm out there.
Talking to David Long, Jr., Titans linebackers, they take on the Jets this Sunday. So traveling to New York, there's a familiar face on that roster in Corey Davis. What's that going to be like going up against him?
Oh, man, he's an awesome player, man. I love playing with him. You know, it's going to be exciting to play against him as well. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Is there something extra when you go up against a former teammate, especially somebody that, you know, was here as long as he was and the type of success that he had, a first-round pick? Is there a little extra when you hit the field against him?
Oh, no, as a player myself, I think, you know, I have a lot of fun out there. I talk a lot anyway, so definitely, you know, it's definitely going to be fun playing against CD, you know.
What kind of conversations have you all had about you're going up against a rookie quarterback and, you know, he's obviously had his, I call them welcome to the NFL moments in his first few games. So what kind of things do you all talk about trying to rattle his cage a little bit?
Not much. I mean, we know he's still, you know, a nice player, and if he has a chance to make a play, he still can make those throws and stuff. So, you know, we just had to, you know, come in here, you know, they're giving us the keys, you know, whatever in practice, you know, making sure that we're coming ready to play, you know, handle anything that's thrown at us.
What is it, you know, I've asked some of your teammates this, but having Jim Schwartz in the building now is working with the defense. What has that been like from your point of view?
It's been cool. I've seen him at practice. You know, he coaches up on whatever, on things, you know, that he sees, you know, it was wrong. But I think he's been a good addition to us.
David, you grew up a Cincinnati guy. Grew up in Cincinnati. Were you rooting the Reds on? I know they were close.
Oh, yeah.
They were right there. If St. Louis didn't win like 40 games in a row, maybe they would have been in the playoffs. But
yeah, I did grow up a Red fans, though, man. It's been a roller coaster, but, you know, I'm still there.
You still follow them?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, 82 wins. If they were over in the East, they'd be in the playoffs. They were just in the wrong division this year. By the way, I know you went to West Virginia, but there's a big one between Cincinnati and Notre Dame. How do you think that one's going to play out?
I don't know, but I'm pulling for Fickell, man. He's turned that program around. So hopefully he can go out there, you know, and get that big win.
Yeah, they are favored in that game. David, you go get a win up in New York. Thanks for the visit. Keep up the good work, and thanks for doing this.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
All right. That is Titans linebacker David Long, Jr. He is, by the way, I just learned that he likes to talk some stuff. I like that.
I like that.
Okay.
I feel
– he's been backing it up. He's really
he
come on.
He has.
I feel like right – you know, if you play in the middle of the field, you know, inside linebacker, you know, where he is. I mean, do you think Keith Bullock talked a little trash
May have.
I mean, you know, even safeties like Bernard – I laugh all the time. Bernard Pollard still talks trash to Nate Washington on Twitter, and they were teammates. But, I mean, it's just that's the mindset. So I think you got to have that. You know, you don't want, especially like if Corey Davis tries to come across the middle, nah, you don't want that to happen.
I don't know, though. I mean, I agree with you, but it's like not all of them. Because, I mean, Jayon, do you think Jayon talks? I don't know if Jayon, he seems kind of more of a reserved guy. Do you think Jayon talks?
I don't
smack?
Know. I mean,
what about Rashawn?
Oh, I think Rashawn does.
You think he talks?
Yeah.
Talk smack?
I think he does.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like that, you know, a lot of times you see a guy that who they are off the field, their personality off the field, that's what they are on the field. But then there are some that the silent assassin types that, you know, that you may not think would be the trash talkers that, you know, they do when it's appropriate. They do when you least expect it, and it kind of throws you off. So
well,
I can see that.
We know in hockey the personality does not always equate to what they're like on the ice.
Right? Yeah.
Some of the nicest people I've ever met over the years in hockey were tough guys. They would suit up and go out there and try to smash somebody's head in, and they were the nicest people in the world off the ice. So
well,
doesn't always equate.
Is Stu Grimson not a prime example? I mean, the first time I remember Stu as a player, you know, even here and elsewhere, and the first time I met him and seen all the YouTube videos, I was like, wait, this is that guy? This is the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, I mean, right. That's his nickname, the Grim Reaper. You know, yeah.
And he's one of the nicest and, you know, most intelligent individuals I've ever met.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't necessarily fit the personality. I mean, that's how they are.
It has hands that could probably palm a tire.
Meat hooks.
On a car. Oh, they are just gigantic mitts, man.
I always remember the story that Scott Walker. Remember Scott Walker played for the Predators? One of the great discoveries of their original expansion draft. Turned out to be a great player. Very, very tough. And would fight anybody. But, of course, there was everybody. And then there was guys like Stu, right? The heavyweights. And early in his career, I remember a story that Scott Walker told. He goes, you know, I was feeling feisty and I was trying to stir it up, and I challenged Stu Grimson, and he said, Stu just looked at me and he said, Scotty, you don't want to do this. And that was the end of that.
And did he agree?
He agreed. Okay. You know, you're right.
Well, at least he had the common sense to say, you know what, Stu, that's a really good point. I got caught up in the moment. That was stupid. You know, I apologize.
Stu has several of those stories. Yeah. I mean, my favorite is his Christoph Oliwa stories.
Oh, yeah.
Stu.
That's one of the all-time greats. Yeah.
So,
my team needs to win this game.
We fight.
We go now.
Yeah.
We fight now. All right.
Well, and he told that story at a function. And how it got to that point was Stu had come into the league and was trying to, you know, like cross-check him and, like, you know, trying to get him to go because coach said, hey, I need you to go, you know, pick one. And Christoph skates up to him and says, Stu, you are not, I can't say the word, but you are not a jerk. I am not a jerk. If you need to fight, you just say, Chris, we fight now. That's what they did. So
they've tried to minimize that portion of the game, like that kind of fighting, but boy, that used to be a big showcase. Just let's see your big guy against my big guy. Let's just see what happens.
Darcy Hordichuk is another one. I mean, go out there and drop him right away and off the ice, a prankster, a jokester, funny guy, nice guy, and boy on the ice, he was going after somebody.
You can find videos of him that he would fight with. He would fight the other team's enforcer, and then they would skate to their respective penalty boxes, and you can hear the hey, good go. How's the fam? It's like that stuff.
Yeah, no, he was. It didn't seem like it was ever personal. It's just like, yeah, that's just. I clocked in. It's time to go.
I clocked in to clock you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. So
Cody McLeod, was his time here, he was like the nicest dude in the world, right?
Did you guys think that, I mean, you saw it some, but especially like when he was with the Titans, like I never thought D-Mace was that way really until he got to Baltimore. Like he kind of had a mild-mannered personality.
I wouldn't call it mild-mannered. I don't know if we knew
It didn't.
I don't know if he talked as much, but you could always see the fire.
It was always there. The fire was always there, but
the feistiness. That's what kind of won the crowd over. You know, that's what got him noticed first in the return game, but also he started making those tough catches, those third, and he became a real trusted third down guy. You know?
I remember he got into it with Cortland Finnegan when he was with the Ravens, and so that was one. That he and Finnegan kind of
imagine
had.
Cortland Finnegan standing out. That was another guy that just won the crowd over with his feistiness, competitiveness.
Right. And you love that.
You see guys going back and forth. That's what you love about competing.
And then we always gave D-Mace crap about chirping Belichick, which was great. But
yeah, but those are all later in his.
I'm talking about early on.
I mean, did he? You know, did it escalate over time? Yes, but it was still there. Don't make no mistake about it. It's not like he was this quiet, you know, mild-mannered, just to himself guy here. Like, he didn't have any fire burning. No, he had fire in his belly here. It just really kind of – it just kept getting a little bit more over the top with the Ravens because he was well-known in the league, right? He was – wasn't like he was fighting – he wasn't fighting for that spot. He wasn't fighting for time. He was established. And so he got to really show everybody, you know, his personality on the field. On the field was fierce, fierce competitor. But that was always here. I mean, it didn't start in Baltimore. It was here. It just, you didn't see it at the levels that you saw it in Baltimore. But if you were around him, like we were.
Yeah, and
I
wasn't, obviously.
Yeah.
In those days.
I had to, going back to the streaming stores, I mean, you know, Titans won a lot of games at home. Back, remember when this was a really, 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 really tough place to play? They won a whole lot of games, and I had to go in and get somebody for a national radio network from the winning locker room. So I spent most of my time in the Titans locker room, and a guy like Derek Mason, you know, who was a great talker, the networks wanted him, and a guy that was approachable, you know, I asked him a lot. And he was always nice enough to do it. But, you know, you could always still see, man, he even after the game, even after a win, like he still – a fire was still burning, man. It really was. Like I'd like to know, in fact, that the next time we have Derek on, I'd like to know, like, did it ever go away? Like, did he wake up on Monday morning and it was like, okay, game, you know, that period is over. We got practice this week. And because – even after games, you could still see he was almost still in game mode.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not gone after the game was over and the Titans had won, and he just let his guard down, and he's just sitting there laughing and smiling, and, you know, it was like nothing ever happened. No, that was not the way D-Mace was.
Well,
it was almost like he was still kind of like – it was like halftime, you know, it was like – you still were looking at him going, do you think you're suiting back up to go back out there? Like, there was times when I looked at him like that because he still kind of had that fire in him. I mean, you could just tell he was, like, still thinking about – there was things going through his head about what just played out in that game.
There were two examples that I saw even after his career where it was like, okay, yeah, I mean, that's who he was. One was, you know, he started here. We started – Darren and Derek and then 3D, and like it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke that he was still mad at Floyd for cutting him. Like, it was, you know, we had fun with it, but you could tell it was still like, you know, that was the chip. And then when we made him watch the playoff game against the Ravens, it like he almost couldn't finish the show because he got mad. And that's that fire you're talking about, those two, you know, those examples. So but that's why we love him. We'll get him on again soon.
I always appreciate that about D-Mace and Albert Haynesworth. They were two guys that were just fierce, fierce competitors on the field. And, you know, and then Albert's like this big, gigantic dude. And anytime I ever asked him, like, you know, you didn't know what you were getting with Albert, but anytime I ever asked him, he was always as nice as could be. I always appreciated that about him because – I think early on when I would ask him, I would be like, I don't know what I'm going to get here. Like, am I going to – is this guy just going to look at me, you know, give me a side stare and be like, get the heck out of here? No, Albert was always great about it. Maybe I just always caught him at the right time. I don't know, but he was always great about doing that stuff. And I always appreciate that about him. And same with D-Mace. D-Mace was always great about doing it too, because I had to take him into another room. It's not like I could sit there and hand him a phone like today. Well, one, the reception wasn't good. We always did it on a landline because the reception wasn't good. So I had to take them into another room, which was always uncomfortable, right? Like you're like, oh, yeah, you got to follow me into another room. But they were always nice enough to do it. All right, we'll come back more on the other side. But first, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Yes, you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years. They've been helping me for years, and they can help you too. You want to be healthier and happier like me? Go to Cool Springs MD. You want to improve your quality of life? Then go to Cool Springs MD. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff can help you in a lot of things. They've got a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to get rid of. Well, weight loss management is important to them, and they've got products and programs and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction immediately. They take pride in that. Rejuvenation. Your appearance should be important. It's important to me, and boy, does it get harder as we age. Well, their staff could sit down and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. That's another thing. People don't realize the older you get, most people, your levels fall. They dip. And when they dip, when they go down, it can affect you. It can affect your drive, your energy. It can affect your mood. Talk to them about BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They would love to educate you on that and look into that if that's going on with you. If you would like to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule a consultation or an appointment by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.